Hey, everybody, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Thursday, TGIT, baby. Oh, man, thank you real quick out of the gate to everyone who watched the premiere of Return of the Mac last night. The numbers were great. The show is super funny. Very proud of it. Very pumped about it. If you haven't seen it, go back and watch it. It's on Xfinity Demand, and I think it's going to be on Hulu. I'm not sure, but just Google Return of the Mac. It'll come up, and make sure you watch next week, every Wednesday, at 8:30 on Pop TV. Super fun. I watch it with my nieces and nephews. I'm up in Seattle, and they loved it. I came on TV. They go, Adam! And then my nephew was like, Adam! And then 2 minutes later, he was like, Adam, it's you! And then 2 minutes later, Adam! I'm like, yeah, I know, man. I was there. No, he was super adorable about it. Big shout out to Joey Mack again for putting me in that show. Super fun and just a blast. You know, it's cool. The first show ever in all of my time in LA. I mean, you know, Mad TV, Separation Anxiety, some movies, some guest stars, but that's the first time I've been a character, and this is the first show I've been one character and playing a sketch or a game show host and been an actor. So, pretty big deal for me. So very pumped and super proud of the show. So make sure you watch it. Hope you guys had a great week so far. Today's episode is really a great way to close out the week. Our guest, returning guest, John Rudnitsky. Oh yeah, baby. Last time John was here, he had just booked SNL. And now he's back and he is no longer on SNL. And he'll get into that. He was fired from SNL, which is fucking crazy. But as we get into... as gut-wrenching as that was, John is doing very well. He just shot a Reese Witherspoon movie where he's one of the leads. He hangs out with Reese Witherspoon now. He just shot a pilot for NBC that they're going to hopefully partner with Will and Grace, the return of that. He's doing a bunch of stand-up. He's going to be on the goddamn Comedy Jam. John's crushing it, so a lot of laughs in this one. We get into the SNL stuff, which is incredibly interesting, but then it's just a lot of laughs. And John brought his buddy and opener and writing partner, Jake Nordwind, who is also super funny. Jake and John have this show called The Road Show with John and Jake at UCB Sunset, which their next show is April 18th. Jake will also be at Sweetwater 420 Fest in Atlanta, Georgia, April 21st to the 23rd. And he has his own show on Above Average. That's SNL's YouTube channel. April 13th, it comes out, which I think is today. Called Backhouse. So look that up on YouTube, Backhouse with Jake Nordwind. Jake is hilarious, offers up some just great banter. And Jake actually and I, first time we hung out was in Arizona when I was opening for Adam Devine. And John and Jake and I and my friend Amanda went to the aquarium and got a little high and laughed our fucking asses off. He's a great dude and really was a nice addition for the podcast. So enjoy the hell out of this one and make sure you are subscribed on iTunes. Make sure you tell your friends. Give it a 5-star rating and comment on the iTunes page. We appreciate all the love and support. And so many great apps on the way. Scholar Brothers next week. Jimmy O. Yang. I'm going to stop there. There's other big surprises that I can't say. But Zac Efron in the next few weeks. Obviously, we've teased at that. And that's going to be a big app. So make sure you're subscribed. And enjoy this one. All right, follow John on Instagram at John Rudnitsky. Follow Jake. What is Jake's Instagram? He told me in an email. He goes, I don't have Twitter, but I have Instagram, and I crush it. Oh, at SkaterPunk69. So at SKHRPunk69. Follow me on Instagram at Adam Ray Comedy, Brad at Brad Williams Comic, at ALN Podcast. Funny Brad on Twitter, Adam Ray Comedy on Twitter, at ALN Podcast on Twitter, aboutlastnightpodcast.com for your shirts and hats. Get those, bring them to the shows, and come see us live. Brad Williams this weekend is going to be in St. Louis at the Helium Comedy Club tonight through Saturday. Get your tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. I'm in Seattle for a few more days, but tonight I'm actually going to be a guest on the Never Not Funny podcast with Jimmy Pardo at the Parlor Live. So come out. It's a late edition, but Jimmy's having me on. I love that podcast. Never Not Funny. I was a guest on it, and it's super funny. Parlor Live, 7:30 tonight. Get tickets at parlorlive.com. And then, of course, Brad Williams and I next week will be at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin, Texas, April 20th through the 22nd. Get your tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com or adamraytv.com or moontowercomedy.com. And come out and see us. We're doing a live ALN podcast with Chris Porter and Dan St. Germain. So come out and see us. And like I said, Return of the Mac every Wednesday, 8:30. I think that's it for now, all right? Fuck, let's get into the episode. Now that we got the tour dates out of the way, the Twitter handles, the merch info, the Return of the Mac info, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very funny Jake Nordwin and our boy John Renitsky.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. What no podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
This is how you know that Adam's a bachelor.
I'm just so happy you guys are here. Also, yeah. Like, no one's come in and been that excited about the new situation too. So like, come on, it's like when you get a new haircut, you don't expect the compliments, but it's cool when your buddies go, oh, cool new poster, cool new mic setup, cool new brick wall,
cool midget. Wait, no, that was there before. He just changed outfits. Was not expecting that.
No, it looks amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I love it.
Yeah, and then
I didn't know what it looked like before, but this looks awesome to me.
Not as cool.
Basically, that scene from The Matrix where they go to the real 1999. that's
what it used to look.
Yeah,
like.
That's what it looked like. But now it's much better.
What was it? Just like a computer in the corner? Was that what the real 1999 looked like?
I think so. I think like was that still like the Apple IIe? I'm just going off of Steve Jobs movies.
I just remember he was like in the corner and then the lady came and it was like follow the white rabbit. That's what I remember from 1999.
Now, what do you think about them rebooting the Matrix?
They are?
Yeah.
I had no idea what was happening.
They're redoing it.
Do you know who they're casting?
It's not with Keanu.
It's not with Keanu or Lawrence.
That was my favorite movie. I memorized every line of that movie.
Really?
When I was a kid.
Yeah.
I knew the movie backwards and forwards. I was obsessed with
it. Well, sure, because like you were how old at that time?
9. It was the first DVD I ever had.
Really?
Matrix was?
Yeah.
Everyone go around and say their first DVD. But by the way, I want to be the
I'll
DVD.
I'll tell you my second, too. It was The Mummy.
But which was the one that you were like, I can't live without? I watch it all the time. Every trip we go on, I bring it. Every school trip I go on, I bring it. Just so in the off chance that some counselor or chaperone has a DVD player with them.
Mm-hmm.
The Matrix.
Men in Black was a big movie for me. But yeah. That might have been VHS.
Definitely get on that mic more for sure.
Okay, sorry about
that. Especially when you talk about Men in Black.
Okay. Yeah.
We need every single detail.
Yeah, there we go.
You can do all that.
Oh, my God.
It's
look
like
at
you're
this
on Stern.
Shit. Oh, my God.
It's like you're doing.
It's really exciting. And I love that the light color changes here on the poster.
That is cool, right?
Oh, actually, it's not changing. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
You might actually have some sort of like vitamin flashback. Deficiency.
Oh, that's what it is.
What is it? An asthma flashback? What'd you say?
An acid flashback.
It's like, do people have asthma flashbacks?
Man, asthma's so strong they have like PTSD from it.
God,
like
from the makers of Night Court, come a new comedy with a twist and a little bit of a breathing problem. Man, John Larroquette is. Asthma flashback.
Yeah, I think we just sold it. I think you could sell that. Absolutely.
Wait, okay, so the
CISO
Mummy
just bought it.
The Matrix. Yeah, they did. The Matrix, why did you love it so much? And is that like one of your first things that made you go like, oh, acting might be my bag?
I just thought it was like the coolest.
Yeah.
And I really understood all of it. I thought, you know, this whole alternate reality thing, I just thought it was very cool. I got very into the philosophy of it.
By the way, Jake,
I haven't figured out the mic situation. John just like nails, and every time we do like right whenever we go and we like,
yeah, because you open for him on the road now.
Yeah, I open for John on the road, and John like brings me to do the radio interviews, which he does not have to do.
Which is a huge gamble on John's part.
And also,
let's be honest,
doing it right now.
Yeah,
and also certainly. Which is true, because I'm sure you guys weren't like, can we get Jake Nordwin? And if he has to bring John. And so he'll do that.
we all were on the road and we had fun together.
Had we not had our aquarium day, I would be a little more trepidatious about your presence in my apartment.
I wouldn't have brought it up if we didn't have an aquarium
day.
Brothers,
that was incredible.
We were in the
by the
same
way, those weed coffee beans.
Which we should talk about. We're all in the same fraternity.
Yeah, there's a lot to cover.
There's a lot. Anyway, but John will bring me to do radio, and they're always like, why would you do that?
But then,
like,
but now do you take that as a challenge and go, well, let me prove them wrong. Let me be like, this is an easier way to make a name for myself.
No, I try to prove them right. I try to let them know why.
Stay in the suck.
I'm like, let me show you why I shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And then me and John will get into some horrendous fight. Yeah, we did.
We had gotten a fight on air, and we're not going to go into the details of it. But then we did a TV appearance afterwards, and Jake couldn't couldn't
so
talk.
So this was the next thing. We did local radio in Phoenix, actually, where you and Adam Devine ended up meeting us.
Yep.
And we did local TV, and I couldn't shake this fight that we had gotten into. So there's like video of us, and it's just John like being so TV ready and me frozen, and then I'd answer questions 5 seconds too late.
All right.
Have you done any sort of press before?
No, why would I?
Well, I don't know. I knew the answer to that question, but
life. You want to get on the radio and talk about it? Yeah, my sister is making me live in her garage still.
But you guys have a good banter off stage, so John has to. There's got to be a part of him that's just not just like,
no,
hey, you're my homie. Like, you're going to say some funny stuff.
Like a stress dog, I think, too, right?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely not in this instance, but yeah.
This is your emotional support comic.
This is my emotional support comic.
He needs to have a vest on him at all times.
Which is strange because he makes me angry so often.
Well, but he makes you mad at him, which that takes your anxiety off of being John Renitsky and all the touring and these new projects. And now your anger is just thrown right at Jake.
Yeah, well, actually, we've been talking about this because Jake says when I'm left alone with my own thoughts that my brain is kind of like the upside down in Stranger Things.
Ooh, so like,
so that I
it's
kinda,
just it's dark in there.
Yeah. Do you guys need to go to couples therapy together?
I think we should consider it.
Should highly consider it.
Although we never get into like real, because a lot, like, you know, like a lot of people, they hold in stuff, and then there's a lot of like it breeds resentment.
Yeah.
Like we just, everything is said so quickly.
It's right there.
That like we don't have a lot under the surface.
So you get out all those little annoyances.
Yeah. Like,
so it's not like at the end of a night, just one little trigger, and it's like, you know what? Fuck you! And
yeah,
like,
exactly.
You don't have that.
Like,
you don't
as
have those
soon
fights.
As he got Saturday Night Live, I was like, "This is I am jealous, and it should be me." And then I was like, "Let's move on."
And then did you say the same thing when he got off the show? You're like, "I'm jealous. I should have been kicked off SNL before you."
Yeah. I was like, "I deserve to be off after the first season."
I got fired because he called Lauren.
Call Lauren every day, and I said, I would like to make a request, fire John Renitsky. He is not pulling
in all honesty, Jake is who I called every week when I would be in a panic about who to write with.
Yeah.
I would call Jake at like 3 a.m. and be like, I need you to read the sketch. I need help.
I think you can tell we nailed it from all the sketches that appeared on air. We killed it every week.
Now, have you haven't talked about that whole experience post yet, have you?
I have. Okay. I have. Right. I just did a podcast earlier today.
Oh, good. Oh, you're cheating? What? You're seeing other podcasts?
How dare you?
Who are they?
The premise of the podcast is about people who got fired from jobs.
Oh. Well, I mean, then you kind of have a one I guess.
What's the name of the podcast?
Yeah.
Fired Up.
Nice.
Okay.
That's a great thing, though.
Great name.
And I guess that makes sense. I mean, you wouldn't want to come in there and be like, yeah, one time I worked at a Spencer's Gifts and I got fired. Everyone just staring at you like, John.
Is there something else you want to bring up?
Well, I did talk about my catering gig that I got fired from.
Yeah, that's right. Did you do Lyft? You got fired from that?
Yeah, I drove for Lyft. I was not a good Lyft driver.
A wonderful sponsor of this About Last Night podcast. We can't encourage our listeners enough to use Lyft.
Sure, sure.
Now that John is gone, it's actually a great company.
I don't think there's any other drivers who are hooking up with their passengers.
Is that what you were doing? You were the fun dad.
Yeah, I was the fun dad, sure.
If the dad hooked up with his son's friends and smoked pot with
his... What dads were you growing up
with? I don't know, man. Listen, I don't know. Move on, new guy. Sandy, so anyway, John.
Sandy, why don't you run along? I'm going to hang back with your you go enjoy soccer. I'm gonna take this around the block a couple times,
dude. Yeah, he would drop everyone off at the movie, but then like when the girl would get out, he'd be like, hey, Samantha, why don't you hang back for a second. What?
My dad's the coolest, isn't he?
Wait, why? I don't know. It's just, it seemed like we didn't get enough.
He hangs out with my girlfriends.
By the way, what do you say as a dad to hit on the, like, oh, like if she does hang back and she's like, why do you want me to hang back? He's like, we never get to talk. You know, there's nothing you can
you
say.
You tell me, no. How is Samantha really doing? Go into great detail. Talk about boys. What?
Yeah. There was always a dad who said something that was inappropriate when you were like with a dad who was like, wow, Samantha's really blossoming, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, that means you're looking at her tits, right. Dad. Yeah.
Gross.
See, my dad was not the say things. My dad was the I'm having some kids over to the house, and at 7 o'clock at night, he's out front on the front yard watering in his bathing suit. So just in his swim trunks, just this 60-year-old guy just like, hey, kids, yeah, come on in. We got snacks.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, all right, so I'm not going to go up under the shirt tonight. That's definitely not happening.
My dad would do similar things. My dad is he's very high-strung and we would
a Jewish guy?
We'd be up
what?
Like smoking.
That's not like your people.
My dad sleeps in a mouth guard. If you wake him up in the middle of the night, he immediately goes to punch you.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Wait, I don't know if you'd want me talking about this.
No, it's fine. What's with the mouth guard?
I don't know. I think he's like go time even when he's sleeping.
Wow.
But I remember we'd be smoking weed in the backyard and my dad would like come out and just like with his mouth guard in his underwear and he couldn't see us and he'd look up at the roof and just I don't even know what he was thinking, like maybe we should redo this. I don't know what he was thinking in his head. You just like walk back inside, we're like, what is,
I think you don't care at that point, right? When you're a dad, you're like, I've done my part, like I worked my jobs, I made my kids.
Yeah.
All right. So, John,
my loins blossomed into people.
I did my thing. I made my kids.
John, I do want you, if you can, talk a little bit about it. You and I have talked about it off air.
Yeah.
But I want to know as much as you want. I mean, do you feel
I'm open to talking about getting fired, particularly because
life is great.
Things are going great.
Things could not be better.
Yeah, and honestly,
that makes it a lot easier.
I'm always here in a good mood. I'm happy you didn't have me
right afterwards.
No.
That would have been two very different interviews.
How was that?
Yeah.
Where was John? Because you are always happy, upbeat, John, and I've never seen you like not that. So, but you're a human being. When you let, last time you were here, it was because you had just gotten on.
Yeah, just got announced.
And I said, dreams are dreams, and that's why they're dreams. And you took that and ran with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wearing a shirt that says it right now. You can't see it, but the merch is really.
Lower back tattoo, yeah, John. Full commitment.
You're right. No, I have that too.
How does it even go down? It's not, does Lauren send you an email or a voicemail or what?
No, none of that.
Send you a MySpace message and then he goes, oh, this is weird. I thought you still checked that.
No, none of that.
Okay.
It's not a text from Lauren or a FaceTime from him. It's a call from my agents and manager. Normally get a team call and you think that means you got a job.
Yeah.
Right? If you get a call from more than one of your agents, it's a good thing.
Some assistant goes, hey, we have this person on the phone.
Like, yes.
Oh, fuck yeah. How much money am I getting?
Well, the thing is the date that all our contracts got renewed for the entire cast is the same. August 1st, we were all supposed to get a call about whether or not we were coming back.
Gotcha.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of like left at the end of the season. You're like, you can't really even enjoy your summer fully because you're like, there's a chance that I might not be coming back.
Sure.
So I was on a date with a girl, and I got a call. Oh, got to take this, and stepped outside, and I quickly got fired. They just said, this is not good news. And I, real quick, just like everything flashed before my eyes. I'm like, oh, my God, I got to leave New York. I was really, honestly, my first thought was I got to call all my friends and my family.
Yeah, because you're there. So.
Yeah, so it felt like
you were
very close with my friends and family. So for me, when I got the job, it kind
of
felt like we all got the job. We
of
were,
course.
Like, you know, in that intro, it's me walking down the street
with your brother and some friends.
Brothers and friends. And so it just kind of was like, yeah, one of the hardest things was just having to leave New York and having to leave all that. But I knew I had to leave.
There was no party that was like, I'm going to stick around and try to just,
no,
I've gotten in some clubs
like,
here and maybe just.
No, because I just feel like that I'd be the guy who's still in New York and not on that show. You know, now maybe I can move back.
You're the guy that's like hanging out in your ex-girlfriend's neighborhood. Like, hey, so how's she doing?
She all right?
She doing all right?
By the way, SNL's the worst ex-girlfriend to have because she's like, all over Facebook. She's like, she's immediately after she dumped me, she had two new white guys she was seeing.
Been there, man.
So when you came back, you had no place to stay. You stayed with your uncle and aunt, right?
Hey, but did you at least get some sympathy pussy on the date? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Great question. Welcome back to Perverts and Ask Questions.
Like you come back, you go, she goes, how was that?
Yeah, John.
You're like,
we just hung out, guys.
Was it a fun summer?
All right. I dropped my daughter off at school. Then I took her friend to the pool. Finger to push. And that was that.
That was that. And that was that.
Well, like, I'm a dad. Yeah, I'm a dad. Oh, yeah. Sometimes I finger my daughter's friends.
But have you guys seen this Grease 3? It's terrible.
It's awful.
Really, it's all at one table.
And Michelle Pfeiffer still did it.
It's all white guys, and they're all disgusting.
Michelle Pfeiffer did sign on. She's
the principal.
I just want to know, I mean, you were on a date, so like, do you come back? Do you say to the girl, like, yeah, the date's over?
Decent question.
Do you tell her?
She's a girl I'd gone out with a couple times. Okay. She was very sweet, and she held me the whole night while I...
Oh, there you go.
Did you cry?
Yeah, you cry, you big fat pussy. Yeah, right, guys?
Only
you
get fired from the
book. Fuck you.
Fuck you, new guy. Who is this guy?
I don't know why I brought him. So,
all right, so that's you feel like your heart's ripped out of your chest. Not to get all Dr. Phil on you.
No.
I just want to get the contrast
so
because
sad.
I want to.
Let me just say, I've never said what DVD I had first. Okay.
No. We'll do it at the end of the podcast.
I just feel like I'm being edited out there. Okay?
Once we're we'll leave. We'll leave. The mics will be on, and then you can talk all about your DVD collection.
My name.
Yeah.
We do the intro before this.
Yeah.
Jake has a DVD podcast you can listen to.
Oh, do you really?
It's called Next Up on What?
Oh, fuck.
Oh, God. I couldn't even get that.
There's the ball. There's the ball. Drop the ball.
I did that.
No.
Let me in, you guys.
Did a Grease DVD song.
Real quick, Jake, would you star in Grease 3 if they were like, it's straight to DVD? Actually, it's straight to the PAX channel.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I really just need some money. Actually, if you guys could
He would do it for the Instagram
here,
story.
Just for gas.
You love Instagram. We're going to come back to your Instagram stories feel like you're interesting enough to talk to.
Yeah.
So, John. No, we will, for real. We know what we're doing here.
Jake is setting up an army of gummy bears.
Oh, you really are.
Yeah, it's a little
him. I'm getting an insight into your childhood.
Don't worry. As soon as John stops talking about his experience on one of the most heralded TV shows of all time, we'll get to your gummy bear army.
I feel free. I just like give it a little break from this story.
Okay.
All right. So your heart's ripped out of your chest, and then you're thinking, "What? I'm leaving the next day or the next week?"
I thought I'll finish out the summer. I'm gonna get drunk every day, and I'm gonna have as much fun as I possibly can in New York before I leave. And I did. I had the best time. And then I was super bummed. But honestly, the first the second day I got back to LA, I booked this movie.
The second day,
yeah.
Wow. So by the way,
you can share. You can share with the audience some supportive like calls, texts you got from friends.
Did I get a lot of those?
I don't know. Did you get one from me?
Of course.
I was trying to mention myself.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about your boys here on the podcast?
I did. No, you guys did reach out, and that was very nice. And not a lot of people, I mean, when I got the job, everybody in the world reaches out. And then when you lose the job, a lot less.
Well, it's like that high school scene where like the kid like pees his pants and all his friends just go, okay, so we're gonna move away from this guy.
Step away. And but that's why I was happy that I got another job quickly
second
after
day
because it
oh dude you that that makes that almost I mean, I'm going to assume, like, almost wiped away any sort of animosity or negative feelings.
Absolutely.
And especially what the movie was, how cool the part was.
Yeah.
How cool. It's a Reese Witherspoon movie.
Yeah, Nancy Myers producing it.
Nancy Myers, who, I mean, let's just go through the list. It's complicated. The Intern.
Something's Gotta Give.
Something's Gotta Give, which I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
It's for probably strongly a female demographic, but it's a... If you are a fan of great movies and Diane Keaton...
Hey, she did The Parent Trap.
Batter Up. Yeah.
Parent Trap, oh, What Women Want.
That is an underrated film.
Oh, yeah. It's a great one.
It's my favorite film that stars someone who would go on later to hate Jews. Yeah, sure. And,
you know what, though? But he can read women's thoughts. And if that's what, if you got to hear a little bit of anti-Semitic shit, also see a man read women's thoughts, guess what? You tell me that's how it has to go down, I'm going to say okay.
There you go.
You guys think he still hates Jews?
For sure. So, John.
What if we could hear Mel Gibson's thoughts?
Yeah, Jake, do you do a Mel Gibson?
Yeah, do a really good Mel Gibson.
Let's hear it.
So you guys,
Grover from Sesame Street.
Yeah, I was about to say Grover was smoking.
No, I don't do any impression.
All right. Okay. All right, we'll come back to you.
Seem to be doing a really good Bobcat Goldthwait right now.
But what if you're like, but the gummy bears? They do all sorts of voices.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect.
The perfect Mel Gibson.
Well, that's how the sketch ends.
So the movie is called Home Again.
Home Again. Yeah. It comes out in the fall
with Reese Witherspoon. What's your part in it?
So she's basically going through a midlife crisis of sorts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she leaves her husband in New York. She moves into her childhood home.
By the way, she's great in any movie where she's like immediately like, oh boy, shit ain't going so well. I got to figure it out.
She's
Guess who I want
one.
At
she's
the helm.
That, she's the she, one.
Yes.
Yes.
You want for that.
Yes. Really, Sweet Home Alabama, same
little,
thing.
Yeah.
Big Little Lies.
No, is she great in that?
Oh my God, she's unbelievable.
Of course.
It's so good.
Yo, she's one of the greatest actors of all time, one of the most bankable people, and apparently one of the coolest people from
she
what you've described.
Coolest.
Yeah.
She is
all right,
coolest.
So you get this movie and you're like, all right, life is great.
Life is great. I was happy, you know, and also in the comedy world, it's right after losing SNL, there's this weird thing where...
There's a cloud over you.
Yeah, but just like hanging around, comedians are kind of... like saying they're sorry that happened, but in a way that you feel like they're kind of happy that
that
happened.
Oh yeah, oh, no. For sure, dude.
Like the Schadenfreude stuff. Where
yeah, man, it's like, hey man, sorry that didn't work out. And I had just gotten the movie and it wasn't announced yet, but I wanted to be like, you know, I don't need your fucking sympathy. By the way, I never heard from you. You know, you guys texted me, but there's so many people who came up and like, oh, it's such a, you know, real bummer. Must be really hard for you. And
dude, that's it's almost like, dude. Yeah. I always equate that. That, by the way,
let really, me taste your tears.
Right.
Yes, it's such a ass backwards way of being like, yeah, almost like what's that movie where the fucking life, where that alien sucks up like their fucking insides and gets stronger? It's almost like these comics are hovering over you, being like, let me fucking soak up that bummer, attitude and depression you might be feeling, and I'll turn it into fucking my confidence,
right?
You
exactly.
know, in that, a fucked up way.
Yeah, totally.
And that's why you keep Jake around.
Yeah,
for that reason.
Oh my God!
What do you mean? What does that mean? Wait, I have no insights anymore.
Wait, what happened to you?
What happened,
Jake? I do want to know.
Jake and I, go ahead.
I do want to know though. Like, hey, as one of John's best friends, like, straight up, no funny answer. Your thoughts when that happened, and what did you say to him?
We were talking about it today. About
I was actually not that upset. I mean, like, because. To be like, I was very happy when he got it. That was a big moment. Obviously, that's like so moment. It was almost like hard to take in. We had been working together for years on like these terrible, terrible projects. We had been paired up together by our managers.
You guys went to SC. We all went to SC. Mm-hmm. You were both in AAPI.
Yeah, I'll tell you that whole story. We'll tell you that whole story because like, it's a good one.
Preface, you guys have known each other forever, been writing and fucking around forever.
But we had been writing and like officially writing partners, like by our team, you know, CAA and I guess, okay, I don't need to announce the, but CAA and Management 360, and I do want to do a quick shout out to CAA because those guys are great and they'll do anything for you. And if you guys want to jump over, and there's a guy I know who can talk.
Yeah.
But like I remember there was literally a few months before that, me and John were sitting together in this a child's park. Which is weird that we were
scoping
there.
Out kids. We get it.
And
so me and Jake, we never talk.
Kids. But like John, had like we had like our hands in the sand and like just so sad,
holding a kid's head until he stopped breathing.
One kid's
we
crying.
Know.
We don't know why. But like John looked at me at one point and he was like, "You think anything's ever going to happen for us?" And like, but dead serious. And that was crazy. And like, I obviously looked at him and I was like, not for you, but probably for me. And because you're not a good person. But later, John, like in a very rapid succession, had gotten Just for Laughs, had done this sort of interesting dance to the Dirty Dancing thing that went on.
Yeah.
And like took off very quickly. And then he got SNL. So it was like a lot to process. A lot had happened.
Yeah.
So it was like slowly understanding that and then watching sort of his experience on Saturday Night Live, which was full of like what it seemed like high highs and low lows. Mm-hmm. Like when it was epic, you were like, I wouldn't hear from him for like 2 weeks. If it was like a great, I knew it was a good show if I didn't hear from him.
So when Miley Cyrus licked his face, you're like,
just didn't. I was like, he's
off the reservation.
People calling, and that's the truth.
By the way, and you're great for recognizing that. Like that's when I was good buds with Beck at SC before he went out there, and then I just go, you know, I'm gonna pump the brakes on. I think I sent a text like second week of the show, and I didn't hear back from him for a couple weeks. And then he sent some back, and he was like, man, sorry, it's just crazed. And I was like, you know what? Like, it is probably crazed. Like, I didn't even for a second stop to think, like, not only getting the job, but, like, the nature of the job. Everyone hears stories about how crazy it is, but you never step back. You're so selfish. You're like, I want to fucking know, which is cool. But, like, also, step back a minute. And
I knew it wasn't me. I didn't get that. That's not my thing. This is your time to experience it. And everybody is going to hopefully experience something so epic and so cool. And we're going to have a million people calling us and reaching out. And like, we're not going to be able to reach out to everybody. So I was like, very cool to lean back. And I actually kind of liked it that I was the guy you call when it was like terrible. When it was like, all the writers won't work with me. Mm-hmm. And like, everybody's being mean. And then we would talk. So it was watching that.
But that's when you need a familiar voice and friend.
Absolutely.
And like a true experience, and like to remember your confidence and remember that you are good and that like this isn't everything, that there is a world outside of it.
Oh, you said that, yeah?
Because I do think you forget.
That's sound advice, I feel like.
Yeah, I do think you forget when you're doing a show like that. I think you instantly forget, like, oh, by the way, there's other comedy shows.
There's other things going on. SNL feels like the center of the universe.
Well, because when you're doing it, that's your life, and you're just
and
so immersed
also,
in it.
And it's also hard to break yourself of that if you grew up with SNL as this thing, you know, as Lauren, as this God, and SNL as this religion. Yeah. And
Chevy Chase only did one season, so you're good.
He quit, though.
I was very big, though, on being like, remember, like, as soon as it happened and he was done, I was like, you're not an unfortunate person for having one season of SNL.
Yeah. It's
not
like Julia Louis-Dreyfus, one season of SNL. Also, Robert Downey Jr., one season of SNL. Joan Cusack.
Sarah Silverman.
There's almost a cooler cast out of the people who were one and done.
Joe Piscopo.
But also think about everyone who's like auditioned and never got it. Or
dude,
people
Jim
who never get
Carrey,
any parts.
Steve Carell, lost out to Will Ferrell.
And never get anything at all, who never get any parts. So I was like, you're in a special club. There's going to be so many opportunities that come. You get to be on this podcast.
Good for you to be the outside hindsight,
so,
you know?
That is what I said. And I was like, so I don't want to hear it. Get out of my place.
Oh, shit.
He's crying at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know why
he kicked me out. I don't know why I'm still nice.
That was my feeling on it.
Good move.
Remember that you're fortunate.
I love hearing that, by the way, because you need that from the people. Like, hearing it from your parents, which I'm sure weighed in, right?
Yeah.
Like, with parental support. But it's like, there's part of you that is like, you're supposed to say this. Like, you don't really get it either. Like, you're not in the trenches. You haven't, like... So you need to hear from somebody that you've known and trusted that knows you and your shit and knows the work you've put in to really tell you that it's fine and to give you some perspective.
Totally.
So that's big time that you did that.
I mean this. The greatest thing that ever happened was getting that job, and the second greatest thing was getting fired from that job. Because now everything I do...
And he has a daughter, by the way.
Feels like that you should take into consideration. She was a mistake, and
we actually named her MK.
Yeah. I really just had her so I could meet her friends.
Oh, gross.
Well, I'm going to wait till they're 18.
Sure, it's a damn waiting process, but I'm investing.
Wait, Brett, you start...
Be clear to the listeners, I don't have a daughter.
Right. These are jokes.
Got a son.
Nice.
Still a mistake. I do diddle his face.
Oh, I diddle his face?
his friend.
Oh, God. So what kind of a pervert are you? Now, Brad asked you the movie, though. Sorry. It is. What is it about?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Home Again. So, right. Reese moves into her childhood home with her kids.
Yeah.
And she meets these, out drinking one night, she meets these three young guys who she ends up inviting to live in her guest home mm-hmm. for a month. And I play one of the three young guys, and we're all kind of in love with her, and I befriend and now I actually it feels weird to say this, I befriend her daughter.
Reese's daughter.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Wait, what?
Are you like the funny one?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's like
you know what I'm saying. You're probably all yeah, like have the some light, I think the, humorous
it's,
moments.
Yeah, it's a lighthearted movie. But yeah. Yes, I think
there's it's a Nancy Myers movie. Everyone's there's
the,
got there's some
the
funny
really
lines.
Hot guy. This yeah. guy Pico, who you know,
his name's Pico.
Yeah,
in real life or in the movie?
No, in real life, Pico Alexander.
Of course, he's hot. Yeah, I
mean, what's his real name?
Yeah.
La Cienega. Seinfeld.
Yeah,
all right.
Sepulveda.
Oh, I'll be here all night.
I see. Alexander came from. I see what happened.
Yeah, it's a little word association.
Alexander. Jason Alexander.
Yeah. So okay. It. So
but also
it
was street name.
But also
and the last name.
It would be Wilshire Louis Dreyfus.
Oh,
there you go. Ooh. Brad, welcome
to the club.
I just named my first kid.
By the way, if you're wondering what three Jews all agreeing in unison sound like, you just heard it.
Basically the exact same reaction from a clever anecdote to like me producing some just cooked pastrami.
Yeah. Ooh. I was going to say the first time you took your pants down, your fiance saw your penis.
Yeah, same reaction. Ooh. Yeah, same reaction. Like that's a pleasant surprise.
That's a plus one.
I'd react the same way.
Were there reservations for that cock?
What's up?
Wait. So, and Reese Witherspoon, greatest person on planet Earth.
Where are we?
We're somewhere between my cock and Reese Witherspoon, which is a lot of my dreams.
Wait, I do want to mention the last time you were here. Was it before or after the Snow Podcast when you and my buddy Jake Siegel got really high and tried to pretend to be three old Jewish people and tell the story of Hanukkah?
I think that was before.
I have that audio somewhere and I need to find it.
Oh my God, that was really
Yo,
funny.
Me and my buddy Jake, coincidentally Siegel, right? Another Jew, great improviser, was in acting school with me at SC, and we sat around the table and we got as high as I've ever been.
Yeah.
And literally just pretended to be like different old Jewish characters and break down the story of Hanukkah. And we laughed a lot. There were a lot of tangents and a lot of like unconnected dots. And then I think I hit stop and somebody goes, never post that. And I close the laptop and I think it's buried in a fucking shelf somewhere.
I think there's probably some gold in there, but a lot of stuff we definitely don't want.
Yeah.
But we should release,
we should dig it out.
Maybe as like a bonus to this. I don't know. We should.
No, I love where your head's at. Let's wait till the movie comes out and the pilot comes out.
Okay, let's do that. Let's do that. Yeah.
Let's make sure we have some job we can cost you by releasing the audio.
I don't want to jinx anything.
No, but I'll find the great stuff and put that out. Okay, so Reese, first impressions. I remember doing The Heat. I was very nervous to meet Sandra Bullock because she's a big movie star. I feel like Reese Witherspoon and her are in the same league as far
absolutely.
As, you know? So I was nervous as fuck, and were you?
Well, I met her at the audition. At an audition, she came to a chemistry read, and she was so cool out the gate that she
put
really...
Put you at ease.
Yeah, she really did. I mean, I'm still, you know, even when I talk to her to this day, I'm like, you're Reese.
Yeah, that'll never go away.
No, I mean, I'm you're a movie star. Yep. You're the cool, but she's so cool. So I brought Jake to her house for the Super Bowl.
I think I saw some Instagram story.
We did it. Like, she was cool enough to do an Instagram story. And I was like, hey, I recently broke up with my girlfriend, and I bet this would be cool if you were on my Instagram. And she was like, yeah, right away. Like,
dude,
did it and with her Oscar.
That's amazing.
Yeah, explain. Oscar. What was it? What was the...
It's
the...
her and John presenting me with an Oscar, and then I make a terrible speech.
Yeah. That's right. I remember I saw that. I was like, oh, dang. I was like, he needed this.
See, and...
I'm sure this
is that what you were going for?
My ex-girlfriend thought.
No. Jake, it was hilarious, and I was also like... Like, you know, because I've heard him talk about that situation. So I was like, oh, this was a solid move by Jake.
Jake's doing great, by the way.
I know you are.
Jake's really bounced back since that breakup about
have
a
you?
Month ago.
Do you want to talk about it?
No, I haven't exactly. I wouldn't say bounced back. I wouldn't say bounced back, to be honest.
You've been having a lot of fun.
Jesus.
Right?
Yeah. I hope you have.
He's been riding a lot of skateboards.
You just
that's
went on
what
the 311 cruise. You performed on the 311 cruise with Doug Benson.
All right.
Yeah, oh, yeah, dude, that's Nick a lot
Swartz.
Of fun.
Yeah, Doug Benson and Nick Swartz.
Brad and I both have been on music cruises.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
And open for a band. So
I would love to talk about it. Was it like other comedians and you guys?
I was the only we were both the only comics on our cruises. I went on the Classic Rock cruise and opened up for the band America and Peter Frampton and Foghat.
What?
How cool is that?
That's awesome. That was ridiculous.
What was that?
I mean, it's going out there. You see a bunch of 65-year-old plus people just rocking out. There's a lot of long hair that... It's coming in patches, and
sure.
Yeah, and people are just going nuts. And then if you reference like a Steppenwolf song in the middle of your act, they fucking go insane. Yeah, so that was my experience, and okay. It was awesome though.
Yeah, I'm sure they loved you. And then Adam, what did you do?
New Kids on the Block.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Twice. And probably a third time this October.
Oh, that's because what's great about that is, like, at least for me, is like we perform twice, but we perform first on the second night.
Yeah.
Once they, like, knew me, it was just like the cool, like, then you're the coolest kid on the cruise.
Yes.
And like everybody wants to do everything with you. They keep
because they knew Doug Benson and Swartz, and I bet they were hanging a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Or were they hanging
out? Oh, who? Swartz and Benson?
Like out in public. Were they hanging a lot?
Yeah, Benson is like... Okay, so basically... Benson is the most stoned guy in the entire world. I had never met anybody.
We've
like
he smokes marijuana.
Johnny, yeah, you got to do Getting Doug with High. You got
to
do.
I would love to.
Yeah, you got to. Just ask your people to
set it up.
Yeah, because Brad and I both done it, and it's
amazing. That was like an act. I thought that wasn't like real. I was like, oh, like I'm sure he smokes weed, but I don't think it's like. So like my agent when he set it up was like, you're gonna meet Doug Benson. He's gonna be incredibly stoned. I was like, I don't think you really know what incredibly stoned like looks like. You're an agent and you're like in an office. And then I met Doug Benson and I was like, oh, I don't know what incredibly stoned looks like. That's insane. It's like his eyes were never
his eyes aren't really they're not real eyes anymore.
It was just that.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
and then
it's crazy.
Everybody on the cruise hands him stuff for him to like smoke or him to eat, like little gummy bears too, to like eat or like drink, and he'll just take all of it and just like put it in his mouth. And it's just the most insane thing to watch anybody do that. And then, what happened is like Doug would open for some reason, and then I would go, and then Nick Swartz. And so people were like, ah, what? Ah! Like during the whole thing. So it was like really crazy.
Did you get some good laughs?
Yeah. And then once you like kill. Like,
oh, then you're a legend on the boat.
Then they love you.
Then they're like, yeah, you know what? You can go through the buffet twice.
Yeah, and then
you can cut the water slide line.
Yeah. And then you hang out, like, the bands really like you. And so, like, that's, like, my favorite part was, like, because I love Real Big Fish. They were on the cruise.
Love Real
Big Fish. Oh, that's great.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
and
Real Big Fish.
With them.
And then it is, like, right, they come up to you and they're like. Right.
Our friendship just went up a notch.
And they're like, and, like, you just, like, hang out with them.
All that.
Yeah. The whole time.
So much brass.
It's just them doing that.
Right.
Did you have a relationship?
They get so much brass.
Remind me, did you fall for anybody on the cruise?
Mm.
Did you have any
romance?
Oh, you had a cruise romance,
did. No, there was no cruise romance.
Oh, you did.
No, there were a lot of neck tattoos on the cruise. I was like, there were a lot of neck tattoos.
Nothing wrong with
neck tats and cool bathing suits. A lot of back tattoos.
Cool bathing
suits? Yeah, cool bathing suits.
All right, Larry King. Jesus.
Anyway, so Reese Witherspoon.
A sweet neck tattoo on her. She
hides it so well.
So well with the hair and the...
Well, let me say too, probably a cool experience because you had stepped out of stand-up for a little while and then gotten back into it when Johnny started headlining.
Yeah, right.
So it's cool to do a gig outside of
John
working with your boy.
Totally.
And now getting Jake is on the grind and
it's true.
You're hitting the mics.
Yeah, well, and also like I'm doing a show with Sarah Schaefer in Troy, New York, which would be like my first
show?
Half. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw your video today you posted.
Yeah,
I think you've been editing
you guys on it.
But, well, I mean,
done.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah,
it absolutely. Looks super fun and super great. And I'm glad you put enough of you two in there doing silly shit to not just show that it was like another show having comics on. You know,
right.
I was very pumped about that. I was like, oh, cool. This is your show, and comics have to come on and do
Yeah,
their so, shit, but like it's like
but it's our show.
Yeah,
that's what we're trying.
Because that's why. Why don't just you don't have to just you know that was
yeah. Great. And when you know when you guys come, you know you do the show. You can tell a road story. You do your act, yeah. And then we come out and we kind of just well, all banter together.
That's right. What we're trying to do. Is like
fantastic.
We want comics to come out, do their sets. That's what I think we're trying to like. We've still been trying to figure out is like comics come out, they do their sets, so they're like comfortable and like mm-hmm. get the crowd out, and then we want to come out and talk to them a little bit about their like favorite. Road story. That's the idea.
Cool.
So far.
Have you who's been on so far that's had a story that you've been like, wow, that was unbelievable.
Well, we
that
only
was the thing.
We only did one show so far, and a lot of people didn't end up telling their road story.
Road
they
story,
are,
like,
just did their set. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like doing their set. So we were like, all maybe right. It helps for us,
us
to come
out
and just sort of like be
set,
like,
set
so?
The table, like, hey, this is
right.
something
and
that needs. Yeah.
Yeah, and we felt like when they came out. Like they were like sort of right in the middle. Like they didn't know as soon. Like you can tell as they're like stepping up to the mic. They're like, "What am I gonna do?"
Yeah.
And then the audience, I felt like picked up on it a bit.
They're
so
like, "Fuck
like,
this guy in the overalls, tell me what to do."
Yeah, exactly. I was like, "Okay, here's what's gonna happen." They're like, "So that's not gonna happen." And then they would just walk on stage.
Right. Yeah, I mean, comics, we get kind of married to our material, and we're like, "Oh, you mean say something I've never said before on stage?"
Exactly.
Nah,
they're
I'm
like,
just gonna do the stuff I know works.
That crushes.
Yeah. I'm just gonna do that.
What's
thing.
A cooler feeling, opening for 311 or having Reese Witherspoon be in an Instagram story of yours?
Oh my god, that is actually
that's a great question,
but also an obvious answer. Right?
I mean, so you're, and the way I feel, you're like, you're leading me to Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah. Because there's more stake.
Academy Award.
There's also more at stake emotionally.
Reese Witherspoon was a very big deal for me. That high lasts a very long, stand-up's high lasts like a long time, but like I can be shaken pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
One dude coming up to me being like, I actually didn't like your jokes. And I'm like, okay. And that's it for that night.
Nice.
Like that night's ruined.
Cool.
Reese Witherspoon, I got in our biggest fight about.
About what?
About Reese Witherspoon's house.
Oh, why?
About her house? What, were you like fighting about the architecture? I really enjoyed the foyer!
We did a raffle and...
Oh my god, yeah. Let's talk about... What was this fight about?
No,
oh, I remember
there was a
this.
Raffle and there were squares for the game and you $20
for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Is she a big sports fan?
I didn't have any cash.
Yeah.
And Jake lent me $20 and like the next day hit me up for the $20.
A Venmo request.
A Venmo request. No, and then you texted me to follow up about the $20.
Because he didn't respond.
I brought
Venmo
the fucking
request.
Guy to Reese Witherspoon's house, and he is really going at me.
Going at me for
$20.
I'm sorry.
That's a super fucking off color move.
I drove there. I didn't ask for gas money.
Oh my god.
It's
on the west
you.
Side. It's not a big deal.
I drove, and I will say this. I won't ask any of you.
It goes Gandhi, Dalai Lama, then Jake in terms of holy people.
I didn't ask for one fucking dollar for you, and I don't want to.
Language,
I'm so
dude.
Sorry, man.
We don't curse
I'm
on this
sorry
podcast.
To lose it.
Wait, I want to know. What does Reese drink? Is she like loose and having a good time? Is she like a sports person?
Or
is she like
not
I'm
watching
host.
The game?
Okay,
we were.
Well, I know you guys weren't.
We were not watching the game.
We were not really
we were
watching. No, so
no, we really didn't watch.
Well,
the
actually,
game.
So name drop: Matthew McConaughey was there.
Of course
that's
you
right, Matt McConaughey. Matt
does he
like,
drive
when,
a Lincoln?
When the game, I don't know, and I wish I did. I like. Okay. He probably has like a.
I would have followed
Lincolns
him to the
right
car
there.
To be
and
like,
Venmo
you better drive
him
a Lincoln.
Too. Same day, I don't care, and I texted him right
20
after.
$20.
Right. He hasn't fucking paid me.
Give me
sorry language.
Give me a shot of wild turkey, Matthew.
Jake and I were making Instagram videos with the kids.
Yes.
With his kids?
And with his kids.
With McConaughey kids.
We didn't know whose kids.
We didn't know whose kids were.
A lot
how
of
old
famous
are they?
People. And like everyone's kid like, belonged. And like they're all like
10,
little,
11. You know,
yeah.
Young
and
kids.
All the kids, if you can imagine, plot twist, all the kids are like really wanting to be on camera because they're all like little
right.
actor kids.
Real quick, go down the line. Name all the famous people that were there.
That was it.
It was just Reese and Matt.
Oh, it's two Academy Award
that's
winners.
Enough.
It's pretty
it.
Good.
Hey,
Leo DiCaprio.
No, was not there.
David Blaine did that David, trick. Taylor Swift.
Robert Swinton. Tilda's brother.
Obama. Anthony and Scalia.
Scalia was there. And that was. And
Lark
Voorhees. And I freaked out. And Lark was there and with her fucked up face.
Wait, so what did McCon.
Jesus Christ.
Great. Now she's never going to come on this podcast.
I feel so bad for saying
I
that.
I know. She's had a rough go, dude.
I don't know what's wrong with me for saying that.
Well, you're honest. You got no filter.
Yeah.
You just fucking open for real big fish. Now you got a fucking ego. Yeah.
You know what? I open for lots of people. Real big fish.
What did McConaughey say when he saw you doing videos with his kids?
Yeah.
So he came in to be like,
like, you guys believe this game? You know, like, he was, like, freaking out about the
Tell
game.
Him and say how he does.
Say everything and do it as him.
How he does shake. Like, the way, because John had told me about this. I thought it was a bit he did on stage, and it's true. The way he says hello.
How's it going, McConaughey?
He puts out his hand and he says McConaughey.
Like he's holding a like goblet?
Like he's shaking your hand, but he but says
say,
his
like,
last
good
name.
To meet you, I'm yeah.
It would it's be like you saying Ray.
Yeah, like...
But we all know.
At SNL, like on Monday, you know, when you go into pitch, he hosted.
Yeah.
And I watched him meet 40 people like that. McConaughey. McConaughey. McConaughey.
Oh, my McConaughey. God.
That's a power move.
It is.
It's crazy and it's so,
it's like the Trump handshake pulling.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Dude, that's a signature dope. Move.
Okay, so then...
So McConaughey.
He sees you doing videos.
He comes, you guys believe this game? And he was like, oh, never mind.
And just like watching. Because it was just
us. Clearly
like,
saw like a bunch of guys who like,
don't
right.
care
about sports.
Weren't watching the game. Couldn't
like
tell you who
dressing
played.
Up and,
who yeah. played in the Super Bowl? Because I think I remember, but.
I don't remember. The Patriots. Because they
and,
won, right?
Yeah, and then the Falcons.
Oh. It would have taken us about 20
minutes. Why'd you do that, I would have never gotten it.
Yeah, I thought it was the Falcons, but then part of me was like, was it the Broncos? I nothing.
Nah, they were champions.
How little
before.
Do you both know? Have you either of you ever played a sport, even like frisbee or
I
running?
I want to try like a trivia question and see who gets it.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Game,
yeah.
Okay, so like football trivia.
Yeah.
All right, then Brad, you think
the name of the quarterback?
Brad, you think of the question, and I'm gonna pull up.
Look, you're certainly not gonna.
I got the question.
I think I can get it before you, but
is that what you really think?
Yes.
Awesome.
I know that I can get it before you.
You guys,
really? I think
you guys
know,
can bet two
I think
gummy bears.
You know nothing.
You think I know nothing?
I know you know nothing.
I want to ask like a quarterback of a team, and I want to, you know, something like that. You know, and I
bet
right. you,
I bet he was literally saying he was starting a question with who is the quarterback. So
I
guess you
that.
Got lucky.
Oh, fuck off.
You're fucking.
You're a real piece of shit.
All right.
Welcome to the first ever Two Guys Who Don't Know Shit About Sports But Love Women contest. Jake, John, battle it out tonight on the About Last Night podcast. This song needs some work.
That's great.
Well, I'm here in the About Last Night podcast. I'm going to be asking the questions of Jake and John. This is my Howard Cosell.
It's very good.
All right. Your first trivia question, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Please tell me. Sure, we know the Patriots and the Falcons were in the Super Bowl this year. But who played in the game the year before?
No.
John Rudnitsky.
Seahawks?
Was that
2 years ago?
That is incorrect. That answer would be 2 years ago.
Close. Bing. I love where your heart's at.
All right, yes.
The Cardinals?
They've only played in one Super Bowl, you jackass.
I got it.
John for the steal.
Broncos.
The Broncos were one of the teams. That is half of the answer.
That's big time. Well.
I even said that answer right earlier in this podcast.
Giants.
By the way, you're naming teams, so that's impressive.
The Utah Jazz.
How about specific with like a play? Like,
yeah, let's try a player.
Like, all right. Okay.
I'm
not a player, like
but
a
wait,
play.
Can
like,
you just answer who was? It was the Broncos and who?
And the Panthers.
Okay, yeah, I would not have gotten that. And the quarterback, of course, of them is the lovely Cameron something.
Crow.
Cameron Crow. And this guy's a great director, but I'll tell you this. He can direct a play better than anything. This guy's one of the best directors of all of football. No, what's his name? The guy is fast as lightning. And
Cam Newton.
All right. Here's
that.
Yes, he does the Superman pose. Here's one more question
that,
for you.
Piece of shit.
We're going to go into a different sport. Who is... Yes, this is absolutely our game show background music.
I still feel bad.
Little Annie Lennox.
I love this song.
Makes it soft.
The first time I got real fucked up sophomore year of high school at a house party, somebody put this on, and I was outside, and it was one of those moments where it's like, you're just starting to feel so good and locked in, you know? One of the first times you get fucked up, but you're like... You're locked in. So you're hilarious. You're saying everything right. And then I literally broke conversation and then started like singing this out loud.
Oh my
and
God.
Everyone got in. We all started singing it. And it was. Yeah, come on, man. All right,
I love that story.
That's a good memory.
What?
But I'd love to get back to this game.
What is the name?
Fantastic story.
Of the NBA basketball player.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Who is about to break. Oscar Robinson's record for most triple-doubles in a year.
Great question.
Bink. LeBron James.
What is a triple double?
Was it LeBron?
No, it was not LeBron James. Okay,
well, how about this? What do you think a triple double is?
I think it's the guy from Oklahoma.
Oh,
Stephon Curry.
No, you're
you had got half that answer correct.
City, right?
Oh, wait. The guy from, is it the guy from Oklahoma?
Yeah.
It is. That would be John's answer, not yours. You don't get credit, you asshole.
That's fine, because I can't really remember his name now. It's,
See, you don't know shit either.
Oh.
I want to get one right over Jake.
Well, I want to know what you think a triple-double is, first of all.
Yeah.
Can I?
I thought it was something you get a big.
What is a triple double? That's the question.
Wait. You get triple. You get double digits in rebounds, points, and assists.
That would be a triple double.
Whoa! Fuck you, dude. And honestly, the people here who love sports think you're.
You have a children's tattoo on your arm that's fading.
That is an accurate statement.
Honestly, I'm embarrassed for you. And I want to go back to just because we're a bunch of sports guys. We actually love sometimes just on a Saturday.
Adam, they think they're a bunch of sports guys.
Oh boy. Dude, isn't it the worst when we're watching sports with our friends and our girlfriends come and they go, hey, why don't you bozos get up? And we're like, no, we're watching the freaking game.
What fellas being fellas?
Fellas doing fellas. And we cheers our brewskis.
I don't think he's ever watched a sport.
No, you've never seen a game or a match in your life.
Yeah, game
and he didn't know what a triple-double slam was. It's not something you get at Denny's.
One last question. Okay. One last question. This will determine who the true expert is.
I'm here all week.
A triple-double slam.
In all the sports.
Put a little ketchup on it and call it a deal.
Johnny's asking another question.
One last question. This will determine who is the master of the sports domain. What baseball team? We just had opening day. What baseball team won the World Series last year?
The Chicago Cubs.
Boom, John Rudnitsky.
Great.
You get it. You get the points. You are the master of sports.
I didn't even know there was they had a play.
I didn't even know Chicago had a team.
Do you even know what baseball is?
Actually,
fucking
I don't.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Actually, I friggin'. I think baseball is incredibly boring. Anyway, let's move on.
Let's move on. All right. We have a couple more things. We have about 10, 15 minutes left.
Yeah. First of all, I want to say that two people at this table are going to be in the new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm next year.
Hey.
Look at that shit. And then answer.
That's a bucket list thing for both of us.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. It's my favorite show of all time.
Mine too.
And I mean.
And even when people ask me like the coolest person I met at SNL, I always said Larry.
Yeah.
I like that. That guy's number one for me.
You hearing you even talk about him, just like those. Like you met a lot of people, but those stories were always like unreal. And then you had banter with him and painted this brilliant picture of just how cool he was. That was like, oh yeah, you made him laugh. He was very receptive to like hearing somebody try to riff with him.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, you had that experience too.
What happened on SNL with him again? It was like.
With which particular
Larry.
Experience?
The first one.
I mean, first of all, listening to his stories about SNL was the coolest. Because I don't know if you know the story about he never got a sketch to air. He was on an 84. He was on for 1 year, and
he was on one year. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Got that in common.
And he had that's where he met Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh wow!
Oh my
go.
God!
So. Imagine Larry telling me this story where it's late at night and we're shooting this Totino sketch and he's telling us
an unbelievable sketch.
Great sketch.
Yeah, yeah.
Great sketch. And so he got a sketch that went to Dress, but then got cut after Dress. So he marched over to the tent where Lauren would normally be sitting, but Lauren wasn't on the show during those years. It was Dick Ebersol. He went up to Dick Ebersol.
Co-founder of the XFL. That's what he's known for.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. Dick Ebersol and Vince McMahon.
Ask me any XFL question. I got it.
No, he actually does.
I'm a big Vegas Raptors fan. Is that correct?
Vegas Raptors. No, it was the Las Vegas Outlaws.
Oh, fuck it. So he goes up to Dick Ebersol and he goes, "The show sucks. I fucking quit. I'm done." You know, and Larry telling the story, he's like, "I'm out of here."
Because he's going full Larry.
Yeah.
It's
fucking sucks. And on the walk home, he's calculating all the money that he lost in his head. So he goes to tell his neighbor, whose name is Kramer, because Kramer's based on a real guy. He goes, I quit the show. And Kramer goes, why don't you just go into work on Monday and act like nothing happened?
And that's an episode
and
from
that's
Seinfeld.
An episode of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And nobody said anything.
Oh, my God.
It was just so cool. Like my coolest, the coolest moment with Larry was there were so many cool moments. The fact that he knew my name, I remember like the second time he came on as Bernie. Mm-hmm. I'm walking down the hall and I feel a pat on my shoulder and I look up and it's Larry. And he's like, "Hey, John, how's it going?" I'm like, oh my God. In fact, he even knows my name. I'm like, "Hey, Larry, look, you know, we're making this a regular thing." And he goes, "Let's not get carried away."
So perfectly Larry David.
Yeah, it was great.
And then I mean, so do you hear about an audition to get on Curb?
Well, after the show,
yeah.
I was having a meeting with my agents and they said, "Who from the show would you want to work with?" And I was like, "I know Curb is coming back."
Yeah.
I was like, "Can you just track it?" And every week I called about getting in for
Oh yeah, I was
Curb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was in Kansas City the first time I was supposed to go in and it was like they hit me up on a Thursday, and I was there for the Thursday show, and they go, "Hey," it was like that night, and they go, "Can you meet him tomorrow?" And I literally, like, heart sank, was just like, "I fucking hate stand-up. I'm never going on the road again. Like, I'm missing this." Like, I hit up Garland and David Steinberg, and I was just like, "What the fuck do I do?" And they were like, "Fuck, bro." Like, Garland was like, "Dude, that's the gamble of, like, the road sometimes. Like, you choose, you got to pick it. Like, if you're around those things, you're waiting for things, you know."
Devastating.
I was devastated. And I was like, "Oh, it's not going to happen again." And then, like, another role came up that was like, "Oh," and I was in town for it. And it's like, but it was, you know, and you know, I mean, it was like, obviously, you had some rapport with them. Did you audition?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we went in the same day because I saw your name on the on the call sheet.
And just even, I mean, I was so. You know, you chalk up certain things. You're like, "This is so cool that I'm even getting to do this. So let me just focus on that to take some of the pressure away from, you know, how bad I want the job." But, and I did that for a minute, and then it immediately shifted to,
right.
"I want this so fucking bad."
Because what's crazy is I didn't think I had a good audition. I was like, I went in there, I improvised with them, and I left, and I kind of bummed. I flew back to New York, and on the flight home, I was like kind of cringing. I was like, "I think I fucked up that audition. I really think I fucked up."
Do we ever really know, by the way, when we go in for stuff? It's like,
sometimes
cause some I never know.
Feel it. Sometimes I feel like sometimes I feel it.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like, I don't know. I bought Wi-Fi halfway through the flight and I was like, "I just got to check my email." And I had gotten an email that I got, and I was
that's
so
awesome.
Happy.
So then you got champagne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I got
there's going to be a lot of hype around that season. It's coming back, I think, in September as well.
I mean, you could just tell. I mean, from the scene I shot, it's so funny.
Dude, it's the guy's a fucking genius, dude.
Yeah.
I put him up there with, like, the best of the best all time comedically.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so the NBC pilot you just shot.
Yeah, it's called Relatively Happy.
Right.
Back in the NBC family. Look at that.
They tried to get rid of me.
But like a herpes sore, you came back.
Yep. I'm sure that's how they view me.
John Herpes Sore Rednitsky.
Yeah. Oh, bummer.
It's kind of Rednitsky now that I think about it. It kind of sounds.
Sounds like what? Like an STD?
Like maybe like a Jewish STD.
So it's got a case of the Rednitskys.
You only get it on, yeah.
That would be great if there was like a very specific like Jewish STD.
Yeah.
Jake, what would it be? Okay. So
good job, Jake.
We keep tossing you the ball here.
I was thinking about the airplane Wi-Fi. How much did that cost? You know.
Now that was a very Jewish thing to say.
It varies.
Because you got it halfway through the flight. You know, it's like you got to get it at the beginning, or else it's, you know, you wasted a lot of money. Anyway,
it varies. Some airlines will give it up to you for $8. Yeah.
How much was it?
I don't remember.
You think over 20?
No.
Under 20?
Yeah, right, like under $10.
Under 10?
Yeah.
That's less than a sandwich on an airplane. That's pretty good.
John, when
Jesus
you did you audition
Christ.
For it how many times before you tested?
The pilot. Yeah, I went.
It's from the people that did Will and Grace, right?
Yeah, yep. So Max Muchnick created Will and Grace, and then the other creators, this guy Jeff Astroff, who created the show Trial and Error that's on right now,
yeah.
But he also wrote on Friends and New Adventures of Old Christine. And
good
so
company.
These guys are vets.
Yeah.
I went in for it like, it feels like 6 or 7 times. I honestly went in for it so many times.
Doing the same thing?
Same scene over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, tests, studio tests, network test, With SNL, it was one screen test. You know.
Yeah. Well, it's one guy making the decision.
Right. I guess that's true.
Yeah. They always all have to talk. And they're like, who's gonna test well? Who's gonna move the needle? They all have to do these weird questions.
Yeah. So that was a kind of a new experience for me.
And this is like, I don't want people think that you're like the creepy neighbor or like some guy's kid. Like you're like the lead male.
Yeah.
Lead male role.
It's about a brother and sister, hence the name Relatively Happy, and I am the brother.
Mm-hmm.
And my play guy, whose wife actually just died about a year before, which is weird to think that I would have a wife.
Shit.
When I can't hold a steady relationship. I'm a play a divorce lawyer, which is crazy. I was on the phone with my buddy the other day, and I was like, can you believe I'm not old enough to play a lawyer? And he goes, John, I'm a lawyer. You just have never had a real job, so you don't know.
You've just never worked in your life.
You don't know what fucking age you're supposed to be.
30-year-olds can be lawyers, John.
Yeah,
it can happen.
It's great. It's very cool. Yeah, and I had that experience. So we shot it on Thursday, and it's one-day shoot because it's a multicam.
Right.
And I was thinking, I was on my feet for like 6 hours. There, you know, you do the scene, then they come out. The writers get in a huddle. They come back. They rewrite the scene, and then you got to do it right there on the spot.
So you hadn't done that at all yet.
No, it was crazy. Yeah. I mean, at SNL is like, you know, that kind of go-go experience, but so often it was like...
But a little more controlled.
Hey, John, we cut that line where you just say, can I get you anything else? You know, and you just kind of sit in my dressing room. But now I was in the center of the ship.
Would you chime in?
I would throw stuff out there.
Mm-hmm. And receptive?
A couple times, yeah, sometimes. And then one time I threw something out and
everyone just looked at you like, where's Jake?
They were like, shut the fuck up. And then I just like kept throwing stuff out there and they're like, actually really like that. And then
there you go.
Yeah, so.
And then live studio audience?
What's that?
Live studio audience. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's isn't that incredible?
Have you done multicam?
Twice.
Yeah.
And the first time was the first TV job.
According to
he
never talks about this on the podcast.
You know,
he
I haven't in a while, by the way. But guess what? When it does come up, it's always organic and authentic. And fuck you, Brad. So look.
Just so you know, Adam's been holding up a sign that said, "Get me to
bring up Belushi."
According to Jim,
bring up Belushi this fall on Fox after asthma flashback. All right.
I need the 15-cent residual checks, please. So
it's less than that. So
that's the Belushi.
But guess what? Yeah. But wait, if that's the name of the fucking show. That's the Belushi.
Yeah. Like bring up Belushi. That wouldn't have been the Belushi.
But no joke. That to me was like as invigorating as stand up because it's like such a collective, cohesive group trying to figure shit out. Everyone's yelling shit. I mean, and also just like the live audience. They're so pumped to be there.
Yeah.
Right. And you have Jane Lynch in there. So
forget
come on,
about it. Yeah, Jane Lynch plays my boss.
Oh,
yeah,
dude,
no, but it's exactly that.
Yeah, the energy too is like you just feel that everybody wants to win. Everybody wants everybody to win.
Yep.
And then you step back and go, all right, I might have some nerves of just like performance anxiety of wanting to crush it.
Yeah.
But that's kind of trumped by how cool everything is, and you kind of go, oh no, I actually know exactly what I'm doing, right?
Yeah, and honestly, I back to SNL again, like that the stakes of that show that it just. Every version of that show, from the table read to the show itself, made me so crazy and was so nerve-wracking that this was just so much...
Walk in the park.
Yeah, honestly, and it was tough.
You got to enjoy it a little more.
And but it's like,
it is hard because it requires a different level of focus. Like, I'm saying this based on one guest star, but I can't imagine.
I was on my feet for that many hours, that focused.
Many rewrites and blocking. And guess what? Yeah. Sitcoms are very technical. Like, mm-hmm. I was doing the first scene, and Belushi was like, yo, turn your face this way. He's like, make sure your outside eye is facing the camera.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And I was like, oh. And this is like right before the first take. And I was like, So now because it's so foreign, I'm like only thinking about that and not thinking about my lines. Yep. So then the first take was like autopilot. So there's like so many elements you have to get comfortable with.
Yep.
Did Jane Lynch say anything to you?
Advice?
Yeah.
No, not really. She's just so cool. She's just relaxed. She comes in, she does her job, she leaves, super sweet. Just a real professional. Clearly done this a lot. I brought up like one of my favorite things she's ever said on first episode of Party Down.
Such a great show.
When she's like, Gene Hall, never forget what Gene Hackman told me on the set or whatever movie it was. And it was like, you ought to be committed. And I brought it up, and she like didn't remember ever. She's like, "That's great. That's a funny line. I don't remember saying that." I'm like, "Of course,
right? Because you said so much funny stuff."
Yeah.
Well, I mean, here's the thing: is yes, when you got the SNL thing happen to you, and you got fired, obviously that's devastating. But you had two options there. You could stop and essentially be like, "Well, that's it."
Right.
Or you could be like, no, this is still my dream to be in this business, and I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
And like your buddy Jake said, yeah, you got to be in that club. So you've still accomplished something. And
totally.
I love seeing how well you've I don't want to say recovered. I want to say keep going.
I appreciate you know what that. I mean? Thank you. Yeah. It was I'm happy it all happened. And I was I remember that day fondly because I was here with you guys. That was a very cool moment. And that doesn't change just because I got canned.
No.
We still got to have that together.
Yeah. we still got to listen to the voicemail where they're like, "Yeah, Lauren's calling for you."
Yeah, there we go.
We do need to hear that story of how you guys met though, because we are all connected by the USC hip. Yep. And the fraternity world. Brad is not a member of one, but
I just partied at all of them.
He partied all of them because what do you always say?
Yeah, because like, why would I join a fraternity when every fraternity wanted a midget in their fraternity
all the time?
I would just show up. They'd be like, "Yeah, we need one of those."
Why go through all the bullshit?
Yeah, exactly. Why like
that's perfect?
Yeah, why go through the hazing?
No, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have done it. Yeah. Absolutely not. Jake, you want to tell the story of how we met?
Or should Nancy Myers tell it?
I think Nancy Myers tells it best. And then it's, what year did... I was a senior when John was a freshman, right?
Yeah, and Jake was like the king of the fraternity.
At the
like,
time.
He was like, you had to like enter
at A-Pi?
He would be in his room.
I don't
room.
Like to brag, but I was the king of the Jewish frat.
Yeah, the Jewish fraternity.
I was like very different
things
at the
changed,
time.
Yeah.
I mean,
wore like
okay,
an open
Adam,
robe.
I feel like we need to discuss something here because there's been a lot not said, but inferred.
Great word.
Well, I mean, and the last Jewish king was Jesus, so you're in great company.
So I'm in the best company.
Yeah.
No, it was, because I'm sure you were also, because I would actually hear stories about Adam when I came into the fraternity.
No way.
Because I lived next to, and I'm sure he's going to love being shouted out on the podcast, David Uffins.
Nice.
And he would always bring him. He was like, "You're funny, dude, but you know who's really funny? My boy, Adam Ray." And like, I always had to live up to the shadow of Adam Ray. I was like, "I don't give a fuck about Adam Ray. Who the fuck
of
is
course.
This guy?" And like, David like would point to your picture on the composite. I'm like, "Stop fucking pointing, dude. Like, let me live my life." And he was like, "He was just big." Like, and that was
did a lot of cool shit.
Yeah, whatever. So did fucking I, dude.
Real quick,
like, that sentence.
Real quick, I want to share. Like, I mean, I did things like, you know, pretending to be like an old British brother from Chico State and doing the lineups. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, where I'd buy a British rock star wig and go, and you know, when everyone had to, like, during the Hell Week when you had to stand up, and I pretend to be, I was fucking Niles from Chico State. I'd be like, "You guys don't know how good you fucking have it. I had to fuck chicks next to bike racks. They wouldn't even let me in the house. You have a fuck on a bike rack?" And then I would hold up a deer head and make them have a staring contest with it. And then they asked me one time to play a song because I was like, you know, I would play a lot of goofy songs about frat brothers. And they go, "Hey, we're going to go ask one of the sororities to an invite." And an invite, for those of you who don't know, is basically when the frat asks the sorority, "Hey, Will you guys come on a bus with us that we'll rent and we'll go to a club and pay for everything and then hopefully y'all fuck us?"
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Basically is what you're doing there.
Absolutely.
So we go into like five different sororities and they had me play this song and they go, "Just change." It was just one sorority we were asking. I think it was Kappa. But originally they were like, "We're going to ask Pi Phi." I was like, "Fucking pick one, man, because I'm going to have to memorize this shit." So I go in and I play the whole song and they're laughing in the middle of the girls thing and they're all into it. It's like 300 girls and I'm just like, "This is great. I'm going to fucking be the reason everybody, you know, gets their dick sucked and or something. And or maybe a nice handshake."
Yeah, a little handshake.
And then all of a sudden at the very end, I say the wrong name of the sorority. I say like the other one that they told me and it's just like dead quiet. And then they all go, "Fuck you!" Like all the girls turned on me, dude, and turned on everybody in the frat, and everyone walked out, and all my brothers were like, "What the fuck, man?
Were you devastated?"
I don't know if they said, did they say "fuck you" or "fuck Jews"?
Yeah.
You think it was "fuck Jews"?
Ooh.
And you were like, "Oh, that's how I turned
Ooh.
Them." And they were like, "This is exactly why we don't let them
yes,
in our house."
Yes, and that is probably what I said and what they said.
We did have a lot of anti-Semitism from like every other house.
Yeah, it was the first time I actually whatever. Okay, so yeah, I mean, that's
so true. Jake would be like, you wouldn't even go to those though.
No, that was Jake the thing. Was like we lived it a different way. I feel like you participated. You sound like
as
I
much
was,
as I
Jake
could.
Had a, Jake had a drug problem, so like he would be in his.
Oh, there it is.
He would be
circle
in his room, like
yeah.
in an open robe with like a headband on,
like,
chain smoking cigarettes. I never knew that Jake had a pill problem.
Yeah,
and just be more specific.
Ibuprofen, oxy, Theraflu tablets.
Yeah, I was getting into it, but like, yeah, it was a much more like wild card.
Go more on that mic there, buddy.
Okay, it was a much more wild card situation with me, where like people just, you didn't know what you were gonna get when you get, like, my whole thing was like, when the door, like, you could just be anything and they liked it. They liked, like, a character. So I would just come out and just be, like, screaming. Like, that was, it wasn't like yours sounds like funny.
No, he had a web series back when, this was like when web series were just beginning to be a thing.
Called?
This College Life.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And so, like, I thought he was the funniest guy. And getting a paddle interview was a big deal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And getting your interview with Jake, stepping into his temple.
Wait, tell people what a paddle interview was.
It's like just getting to know a brother, and then he signs your paddle, and then when you're in lineup, they're like, who did you meet this week? You know, like, who did you talk to? What guy did you really bond
with? What new
with?
Friendship is blossoming currently? Very manly.
Yeah. Yeah, very and manly. Then after college, I had written this pilot that I didn't think was very good. I brought it to my manager, and he's like, you think you need help with structure? Do you know anyone who's funny that you could, like, write with? And I hit up Jake, who I guess it realized didn't even remember me, and I didn't even know that, right? Like, I said that he had a problem then, but I brought him this, and I was like, do you want to write this with me? And he was kind of like Sean Connery in The Rock, where he's like, I thought I quit this game. And then he kind of like, he wrote
it's
this
comedy game. Like, and I was
like sober now. And we wrote it, and then we wrote this show together, and then our agents were like, we love it, and then Jake and I ended up spending every
day
together.
We were, like, paired together.
Yeah.
We're completely opposite kinds of people, where, like, John is, like, incredibly optimistic all of the time. Like, we'll say things in real life. Like, he'll be like, you know, if you think good things, you can actually manifest good things. I'm like, dude, that's the secret. And he's like, yeah, that actually is the secret. Like, John, like, believes things like that, and I'm like incredibly on the opposite side of that.
So it's a good contrast.
Yeah, we found a way to like mesh and work together over a period of time. I feel like I didn't communicate what I was like in the frat properly.
I think we're getting an idea.
All right, so that was it.
He got punched in the face a lot.
All the time.
Wait,
I
what?
Used to
no
just
way.
Get, yeah, I used to get into a lot of, I used to lose a lot of fights, and there was a specific time I remember getting beat up in front of a Pi, or just getting like punched in the face and looking up and seeing John and just him looking like, I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do
in this situation. And I literally bleeding out of my, because I have a scar still right
here. I have a memory of, my memory of it is I was sitting on the balcony. And I turn, all of a sudden I see you get fucking rocked in the face and you hit the ground and these three guys walk off and you like pick yourself up and run over to them and then they fucking knock you out again and then they...
I'll tell you this, nobody knocks me out only once. You gotta hit me twice, baby. I get hit
but
twice.
He's so different now.
Yeah. It's true, but I used to...
But I kept wanting him to be the same guy.
When you say it like that, it sounds like all that happened was me getting punched. I threw a lot of haymakers at the time.
Okay, anyone who ever throws a punch never says that.
And so what happened is I'm throwing haymakers at these guys.
Triple doubles.
They're dodging.
Triple double haymakers. Grand slam, thank you, ma'am. Wham, bam, wham.
No, I ended up in a puddle on a curb. It was a sad night for me, actually. It was a bottom, I guess, is what we'd call it.
Did you guys enjoy
the industry?
Yikes, too soon. Did you enjoy the frat experience?
I loved it when I was in it. I absolutely did. Like, I was like, I'm never leaving. Yeah. I lived there for like 3 years in the corner. I had like a corner room.
I did
make it like a pat. Like, when you walked in there, it was like a waft of like smoke.
Waft or waft?
Is it waft?
I think it's waft.
No, I...
waft? You're thinking of Wham. It's not Wham.
Yeah, yeah. Wham.
No.
My favorite band is Wham.
No, it's Wham.
George Michael.
And then...
Well, George played. Michael yeah. with Wham. And it was a waft of smoke.
Okay.
But like, and also all kinds of things. Like, I don't want to get into exactly what the details were. And then it was just like that. But then as soon as I left, there was a time where, like, when I did get sober, I moved to the East Side, and I was like, I don't live that life anymore. I'm an East Side kid now. I shop at Whole Foods.
Good. But you needed that upgrade.
Yeah.
And now you found a balance.
It's a balance. Yeah. Life's a balance. What's this podcast called? Life's
about
a balance.
About last night. Yeah. Life's a balance ain't a bad name for a podcast, sure, except for that it is.
For a couple years, though, after, like, when we rekindled after college, I would always turn to Jake and be like, I can't believe I'm hanging out with the senior. You know, I can't believe
all the time.
So the same way you're like with Reese Witherspoon, yeah, you were like that with Jake.
Only it was like, sad.
Jake was like
the Reese Witherspoon of the frat.
Jake was a star to me, but I guess he was just my vision of Jake.
No, and I love Jake.
At his greatest when he was addicted to painkillers.
You remember in the frat? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we can leave it there.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, I'm trying to get back on him if you guys have any painkillers, because I was a ball.
I've got some Flintstone vitamins from 1992.
Yeah. Hey, we can snort those. Yeah. We can shoot those.
Now we know what we're doing when we shut up the mics.
We can fuck those vitamins, whatever you want. Put them around our dicks.
What do you want me to do?
I don't care. What do you want me to do for you? For these vitamins, man. I'll suck you down for the vitamins.
Look at us. We're four Trojans that did good. Wow. So we've done all right. We're making the business, right?
I think we're
doing okay.
Yeah. I think we're doing all
right. Pretty cool, yeah.
We all pay our rent.
Think about where you came from, you know?
Right.
Yeah, we
have to step back. Come on, man.
Suburbs.
Real
what?
Big Fish. Would you ever think that you'd be opening?
No,
on
I mean,
a cruise
do you want me to
them?
Be? Yeah, honestly, like right now, things are going really well. Yeah, it's good. Things are good right
you just
now.
Met Sia. She made you coffee.
That is true.
How'd you meet
Sia? How'd Sia make
at
you
a
coffee?
Whoopi Goldberg show.
Why are we at a Whoopi Goldberg show?
I wasn't. He was.
My this is the Mark, weirdest tunnel of story I've ever heard.
My friend Mark represents Whoopi Goldberg. He's like one of the people who is part of her team. And so he was like, Whoopi is playing Morongo. And as I was driving up.
Stand
up? Yeah, stand up. Or, you know, she does stories. She doesn't even call. She will like not call it stand up. She's like, other people do stand up. These are stories. But she really.
That's awesome.
Anyway, I'm driving up because I'm like, that's a funny Instagram story to be at a Whoopi Goldberg show.
Sure.
That's going to be fun.
Never have,
thanks for the Instagram.
You never have Instagram stories been mentioned so many times on the podcast.
And I would love everybody to Skaterpunk 69. Yeah,
you're good.
And
what is it?
Skaterpunk 69.
SKATRPUNK
69.
But is the 69 spelled appropriately?
It's just 69.
Now, are you trying to act like a character from a Avril Lavigne song on purpose, or is it a joke?
I don't know at this point. I don't know if anything I'm doing is ever a joke.
It
I don't
just
know
sounds
what
like
is,
I think you were going for like an AIM type
yeah.
of like a chat
know.
Room.
I don't care. Like, whatever. Oh,
okay,
yeah.
fuck it, you. I was trying to help you. Like,
fucking whatever. I don't know. It's a joke, and then sometimes I feel like my life is
so Whoopi,
a huge joke.
Was it a good show?
So Whoopi.
Yeah, so I go. Whoopi kills it. But on my way up, my friend Mark's like, hey, by the way, Sia's going to be there.
Oh, cool.
And I like love Sia.
Okay.
And I like freak out. And so we drive up there, and then it's like this green room, and it's like just Sia and Maddie, that girl who's in all of her videos. And then we
is
just
she still wearing
out.
The wig?
No, Sia's de-wigged. Wait, is who? Maddie or Sia?
Sia.
No wigs. Nobody. So it's crazy. Party girls, don't get anyway, things get a little bit crazy, right? In that green room. No, she was the sweetest person.
She's great.
She was like the. I literally have been with like comics who are like. They've just had like a half hour special who are much meaner than Sia.
Yeah. She offered to make you coffee.
She did make me coffee. That's crazy. I know that's crazy, but she made me coffee.
Yeah, and then Maddie put sugar in it. And then you watched Whoopi.
And then I watched Whoopi. It was the greatest night of my entire life.
There you
Thank
go.
You so much. You can edit this whole story out.
Well, we're going to edit every time you speak out.
Okay,
so,
very cool. You know what? And nobody looked happy when I was telling the story, but it was fucking set up, so I had to
great.
Finish it.
You're a good storyteller. You were a little fixated on those gummy bears, I'll be honest, though.
Because I didn't want to chew it in the fucking mic. You know what?
See, what I did, I just kept moving it away. So if you don't want to chew, don't make an army of gummy bears.
Well, there's a lot of good gummy bears because I didn't think they still taste like the Haribo gummy bears.
Okay, so
Haribo.
That's not how it's said.
Haribo.
You sound like an idiot, man. I'm sorry, but no offense. You sound like a fucking moron.
You think you'll have Jake back?
Maybe.
Adam was so serious.
Yeah, that's a real. That's a real
a
good
solid
maybe.
Maybe.
That's a real 2017 maybe.
Strong maybe.
Maybe.
Bring Sia.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, bring for someone sure, better than dude, you. For sure. Come on, man. After our day in Aquarium, Brad knows this, too, from doing the road. It's like, Brad is very... I might even pick this up from him of seeing like, oh, you got to go out and live your life on the road.
Yeah, you got to go do stuff.
Find cool shit. And what did you just do in Cleveland?
Oh, what did fuck? What did I just do in Cleveland? I don't know.
Well, it's not wrong for you to forget Cleveland.
Well, no, with Steve Byrne.
Yeah.
Sure,
yes. Steve Byrne was there, and we went out to eat to all these different places every day. And then we went to a club together where we did a very... We Rickrolled the entire club.
Nice.
We announced that there was a very special guest, a very special performer, and like the club like shuts down. They're like, oh my god, like who's gonna be there? And then they just played. We just played Never Gonna Give You Up, and then Steve and I just walked out and waved, and then turned right back around.
Oh, that's amazing.
So we Rickrolled the entire
club. You Rickrolled the club.
Yeah.
Steve is so much. I used to go on the road with Steve. He's
oh yeah.
The most fun.
Yeah.
And now when I go on the road with Jake, I drag Jake out with me because Jake doesn't like going out and doing things. He hates doing things.
But I yeah.
But now, but whenever I bring him out, you're happy, aren't you?
Yeah. So yeah.
Very, very enthusiastic
just feel
answer.
Like Adam's typing. He's lost interest in the whole thing.
Jake, I want to know
shit checked out.
Jake, I want to know the aquarium day because that's what we did. Brad, have you ever been to the aquarium in Arizona?
Not in Arizona, no.
Okay, well, next time you go, you got to go and you got to get these weed coffee beans that I had because Jake and John and my friend Amanda and I all took them. Well, she didn't.
Well, Jake didn't,
and I didn't.
It was just you and me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You guys did. I took videos of you guys oh, yeah. the whole time. But well, you guys took a lot of very videos. Funny.
Jake's just sitting there going like, this is going to be a hell of an Instagram story.
Guys. Yeah,
it was
so
good. You guys can say whatever the fuck you want about Instagram.
Some of the best
story.
Instagram
They're
stories.
So fun to do.
And they disappear forever.
Why does it matter?
Yeah, but isn't that seems to me like the bummer about doing them. It's like.
See, and I disagree. Okay, whatever.
That's what you think is liberating.
I think that's the fun part about them.
Oh, really? That nobody ever...
They're like, you can kind of... It frees you up, because I think all of us were so worried about like being funny all the time. Because this
will be there forever.
And, like, whatever, and we're like, oh, no, is this fitting our brand? And you can just like do something quickly and fuck it. Whatever.
There was at one point where I couldn't control myself from laughing when we were like... We were in the exhibit where it was like... You sit in like the dome room, and there was like...
moving seats.
Moving seats, and then they were taking different like quadrants of the underwater mammal life... Cool.
Well said.
And
you sound just like a docent, Adam Ray.
And they
you
had
work there.
They had Tuesdays, and they had the automated like hologram people on the commercials, being like, "Remember, they were like really canned, shitty joke."
And they talked to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, we were doing movie trailer voices.
We were doing movie trailer voices
we were
for
doing like you know like Planet Earth stuff.
Yeah,
and there were little kids
we're like,
there.
Watch the shark drive himself to the other sharks.
And then like the scuba.
It's been a
remember
while.
The scuba lady just comes down
out of
and she's
nowhere.
Like, hey everybody, are you having a good time? And you're like, did she see us?
Giggling. All the little kids there were like, who are these
That's
children?
What pot's like.
Yeah. I'm not going to do any of that. Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for coming out. And then, Jake, you had one more story about your DVDs.
I feel like I'll get into it. It's a really long. It's a long story.
Oh, boy.
And so, okay.
Rickroll! Hey,
that's
thank you so
you
much for listening to the Count Last Night podcast.
What the fuck is
I'm
this,
your,
man? No, fuck you guys. I want to do my fucking
thank
DVD
you guys for coming
story.
On the About Last Night podcast. Watch John's movie coming out with Reese Witherspoon and see Jake on the road.
I'm going to be on the Comedy Jam.
Yeah, what is that?
Comedy Jam in May.
Yeah. With Kenny fucking Loggins.
Kenny fucking Loggins.
What are you even
Adam Ray and I are going to be on Curb Your Enthusiasm Season 9.
Yeah.
You can
have
see Jake with Real Big Fish.
Average coming out.
You do?
Hell yeah.
House.
Yes, he does.
Hell yeah.
Whatever. Fuck everybody. My first DVD was called... It was bad.
No, I'm going to edit it out. Wait, what is
no.
it?
No. Okay, my first DVD was Blade Runner. Okay, I feel like you got
great.
Blade Runner's a good film.
That's a great movie. Wait, turn that off for a minute, Brad.
And Backhouse on Above Average.
Backhouse on Above Jake Average Show. Coming out in a week.
And it's hilarious.
What is that about?
So living in sort of like
thank you so much, Jake. Yeah. Thank you for coming by. We'll put it in the intro. Good night, everybody.
Good night, folks.
So that's the show.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.